శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 39 అండ్ 50 బాబాస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ సంస్కృత్ హిస్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎ వర్డ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ గీత కన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద సమాధి మందిర్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ 39 డీల్స్ విత్ బాబాస్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎ వర్డ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద భగవద్గీత As some people believe that Baba had little knowledge of Sanskrit, but by the interpretation of Nana Saheb Chandorskar's query, Hemant Pant refuted that charge. In the chapter number 50, and as it deals with the same subject matter, it is incorporated in this chapter. Om Shri Sai. Preliminary. Blessed is Shirdi and blessed is Dwarka Mai. Where Shri Sai lived and moved until he took Mahasamadhi. Blessed are the people of Shirdi whom he obliged and for whom he lived there. Shirdi was a small village first, but it attained importance on account of his contact and became a Tirtha, that is, a holy place of pilgrimage. Equally blessed are the women folk of Shirdi. Blessed is their whole and undivided faith in him. They sang the glories of Baba while bathing, grinding, pounding the corn and doing other household work. Om Shri Sai. Baba's interpretation. Nobody believed that Baba knew Sanskrit. One day he surprised all by giving an interpretation of a verse from the Gita to Nana Saheb Chandorkar. A brief account about this matter was written by Mr. B.V. Dev, retired Mamlatar and published in Marathi in Shri Sai Leela Magazine, Volume 4, Suput Vishaya, page 563. Short accounts of the same are also published in Sai Baba, page 36, both by B.V. Narasimha Swami. Mr. B.V. Dev has also given an English version of this in a statement, dated 27-9-1936. And published on page 66 of Devotee's Experience Part 3 by Narasimha Swami. As Mr. Dev has got first-hand information about this subject from Nana Saheb himself, we give below his version. Nana Saheb Chandorkar was a good student of Vedanta. He had read Gita with commentaries. He fancied that Baba knew nothing of Sanskrit text. So Baba one day pricked the bubble. These were the days before crowds flocked to Baba, when Baba had individual meetings at the mosque with such devotees. Nana was sitting near Baba and massaging his legs and muttering something under his breath. Baba: Nana, what are you mumbling yourself? Nana: I am reciting a sloka, that is verse. Baba: What sloka? Nana: From Bhagavad Gita. Baba: Say it loudly. Nana then recited BG 434, which is as follows: Tadvidi Parnipatena Pariprashena Sevaya Upadikshayati Te Jnanam Jnanani Nashtvat Vardashinaha. Baba: Nana, do you understand it? Nana: Yes. Baba: If you do, then tell me its meaning. Nana: It means this, making Shashtanga Namaskara, that is prostration, asking the Guru, serving him, learn what this knowledge is. Then those who have attained the real knowledge of the Sadvastu, that is Brahma, will give you Upadesh, instruction of knowledge. Baba: Nana, I do not want this sort of collection purport of the whole stanza. Give me each word, its grammatical force and meaning. Then Nana explained its word by word. Baba: Nana, is it enough to merely make prostration? Nana: I do not know any other meaning for the word pranipat, that making prostration. Baba: What is pariprahasna? Nana: Asking questions. Baba: What does prashna mean? Nana: The same, questioning. Baba: If pariprasna means the same as prashna, question, why did Vyasa add the prefix Pari was Vyasa off his head? Nana, I do not know of any other meaning for the word Pariprashna. Baba, Seva, what sort of Seva is meant? Nana, just what we are doing to you. Baba, is it enough to render such service? Nana, I do not know what more is signified by the word Seva. Baba, in the next line, Upadekshanti, Te Jnanam. Can you read any other word in lieu of Jnanam? Nana, yes. Baba, what word? Nana, Ajnana. Baba, taking the word instead of Jnana, is any meaning made out of the words? Nana, no. Shankara Bhashya gives no such construction. Baba, never mind. If it does not, is there any objection to using the word Ajnan if it gives a better sense? Nana, I do not understand how to construe by placing Ajnan in it. Baba, why does Krishna refer Arjuna to Tattvadarshis to do his prostrations, interrogation and service? Was not Krishna a Tattvadarshi in fact, Jnana itself? Nana, yes, he was, but I do not make out why he referred Arjuna to Jnanis. Baba, have you not understood this? Nana was humiliated, his pride was knocked down. Then Baba began to explain. Number one, it is not enough merely to prostrate before the Jnanis. We must make Sarvasva Sharangati, that is, complete surrender to the Sadguru. Number two, mere questioning is not enough. The question must be made with any improper motive or attitude, or to trap the Guru and catch mistakes in the answers, or out of ideal curiosity. It must be earnest with a view to achieve spiritual progress or liberation. Number three, Seva is not rendering service. With the feeling that one is free to offer or refuse service, one must feel that he is not the master of the body, that the body is Guru's and exists merely to render service to him. If this is done, the Sadguru will show you what the knowledge referred to in the previous stanza is. Nana did not understand. What is meant by saying that a Guru teaches Ajnan? Baba, how is Jnan Upadesh, that is imparting of realization, to be affected? Destroying ignorance is Jnan. Of verse OV, that is 1396 of Dhyaneshwari, commenting on Gita 1866, says, removal of ignorance is, O Arjuna, if dream and sleep disappear, you are yourself. It is like that. Also, OV 83 on Gita chapter 5, 16 says, is there anything different or independent in Jnan besides the destruction of ignorance? Expelling darkness means light. Destroying duality, that is Dvaita, means non-duality, Advaita. Whenever we speak of destroying Dvaita, we speak of Advaita. Whenever we talk of destroying darkness, we talk of light. If we have to realize the Advaita state, the feeling of Dvaita in ourselves has to be removed. That is, the realization of Advaita state. Who can speak of Advaita while remaining in Dvaita state? Unless one gets into the state of non-duality, how can one know it and realize it? Again, the Shishya, that is disciple, like the Sadguru, is the embodiment of Jnana. The difference between the two lies in the attitude, high realization and unrivaled capacity, and Aishwarya Yoga, that is divine powers. The Sadguru is Nirgun, Sat Chit Anand. He has indeed taken human form to elevate mankind, but his real Nirgun nature is not destroyed thereby even a bit. His existence or reality, divine power and wisdom remain undiminished. The disciple also is in fact of the same Swarup, that is form, but it is overlaid by the effect of the sanskars of innumerable births in the shape of ignorance, which veils his view that he is Shuddha Chaitanya. See BG chapter, that is Bhagavad Gita chapter 5:15. As stated therein, he gets the impressions, I am Jiva, a creature, meek and poor. The Guru has to root out these offshoots of ignorance and has to give Upadesh or instructions. to the disciples held spellbound for endless generation by the idea of his being a jiva, the Guru imparts the teachings. You are God. You are mighty and opulent. Then he realizes that he is God really. The perpetual delusion under which the disciple is laboring, that he is the body, that he is a creature, that is jiva or ego, that is God, Paramatma, and the world are different from him, is an ignorance inherited from innumerable past births. From actions based on it, he has delivered his joy, sorrows, and mixture of both. To remove this delusion, this error, this root of ignorance, he must start the inquiry, how did the ignorance arise? Where is it? And to show him, this is called the Guru Upadesh. The following are the instances of Ajnana. Number 1. I am Jiva, creature. Number 2. I am body. Number 3. God, world, and Jiva are different. Number 4. I am not God. Number 5. Not knowing that body is not the soul. Number 6. Not knowing that God, world, and Jiva are one. Unless these errors are exposed to his view, the disciple cannot learn what is God, Jiva, world, body, how they are interrelated and whether they are different from each other or are one and the same. To teach him these and destroy his ignorance is this instruction in Jnana or Ajnana. Why should Jnana be imparted to the Jiva? Upadesha is merely to show him his error and destroy his ignorance. Om Shri Sai. Construction of the Samadhi Mandir. Baba never made any fuss about the things which he wanted to accomplish, but he so skillfully arranged the circumstances that the people were surprised at the slow but sure results attained. The construction of the Samadhi Mandir is an instance. Shriman Bapu Sahib Bhuti, the famous multimillionaire of Nagpur, lived in Shirdi with his family. Once, an idea arose in his mind that he should have a building of his own there. Sometimes after this, while he was sleeping in Dikshit Wada, he got a vision. Baba appeared in his dream and ordered him to build a wada with a temple. Shama, who was sleeping there, also got a similar vision. When Bapu Sahib awakened, he saw Shama crying and asking the latter as to why he was in tears. The latter replied that in his vision, Baba came to him and ordered distinctly, "Build the wada with the temple. I shall fulfill the desires of all." On hearing the sweet and loving words of Baba, I was overpowered with emotion. My throat was choked. My eyes were overflowing with tears and I began to cry. Bapu Sahib was surprised to see that both their visions tallied. Being a rich and capable man, he decided to build a wada there and drew up a plan with Shama, that is Madhav Rao. Kaka Sahib Dikshit also approved of it. And when it was placed before Baba, he also sanctioned it immediately. Then the construction work was duly started, and under the supervision of Shama, the ground floor, the cellar, and the well were completed. Baba, on his way to and from Lendi, also suggested some improvements. Further work was entrusted to Bapu Sahib Jog, and when it was going on, an idea struck Bapu Sahib Bhuti's mind that there should be an open space or platform, and in the center, the image of Muralidhar, that is, Lord Krishna with flute, be installed. He asked Shama to refer this matter to Baba and get his consent. The latter asked Baba about this when he was just passing by the wada. On hearing Shama, Baba gave his consent, saying, "After the temple is complete, I will come there to stay." And staring at the wada, he added, "After the wada is complete, we shall use it. We shall live, move, and play there. Embrace each other and be happy." Then Shama asked Baba whether this was the auspicious time to begin the foundation work of the central room of the shrine. The latter answered in the affirmative. Then Shama got a coconut broken there and started the work. In due time, the work was completed and an order was also placed for making a good image of Muralidhar. But before it was ready, a new situation turned up. Baba became seriously ill. Bapu Sahib became very sad and dejected. Thinking that if Baba passed away, his wada would not be consecrated by the holy touch of Baba's feet and all his money, about a lakh of rupees, would be wasted. But the words, "Keep me in the wada," which came out of Baba's mouth just before his passing away, consoled not only Bapu Sahib, but one and all. In due time, Baba's holy body was placed and preserved in the central shrine meant for Muralidhar, and Baba himself became Muralidhar, and the Wada thus became the Samadhi Mandir of Sai Baba. His wonderful Leela is unfathomable. Blessed and fortunate is Bapu Saheb Bhuti, in whose Wada lies the holy and the pure body of Baba. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.